Pastor Landis Fisher, Straight Gate Ministries, and St. Timothy Church. It is a blessing to come to you at this time to have a little Bible study with you, and we pray that you will text somebody, call somebody, send out on your Facebook page, let them know we're here, and we're here to celebrate God's Word, and just thankful that you have come to be with us. Amen. Such a blessing to be here. We're going to go right ahead. We started up a train of thought this past week, and so I want to get back into the subject of Thanksgiving and the sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise. Amen. And as you know, it is our custom to go before the Lord in prayer. Amen. There's so many things to pray about. I've been having some particular personal challenges and things, and many of you as well, I'm sure. And we've got a lot of things that we should pray about and give God praise. So we want to go right ahead at this time and do that just before we break the bread of life. Amen. The privilege of prayer is an awesome thing. That's why we want to be thankful to God and always be willing to praise His name. Amen. And give thanks for all that He's done. Let's pray. Everlasting God, we bless Your name. We give You praise today, Father. We thank You, Father, because You are excellent and worthy to be praised. Father, we lift up Your name. We give You all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Father, I ask You to just bless me today. And we're saying this for all the people who are hearing my voice today. Lord, forgive us all of our sin. Lord God, we wouldn't be able to make it without You. So, Father, we thank You that You loved us so much, that You invested in us Your Son, Jesus, in order that He might be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity, chastised for our peace, and by His stripes we would be healed. And so, Father, we come today just to draw up on those privileges, Lord God, that You have given us. And, Father, we know You have invested a great deal in our deliverance and our salvation. And so, Father, we want to thank You for Jesus. I want to ask today, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name, that You let somebody who has never really understood Him understand who He is today, Lord, and draw their hearts close to Your Son that You gave in order to save us and our sons and daughters, Lord God. Father, we just bless Your name and we give You praise because we know You can do it, Lord. We had generations before us that came before us that were told us about Your goodness and how You delivered them from many dangers and many snares and traps in this life. And Father, we know right now in our country that there are many things going on, God, that are just treacherous. And so, Father, we pray for Your coverage, Your protection, for Your continued mercy, for Your grace, Lord God, and Father, for Your provision. You are providing for us even in the midst of a terrible situation that's going on in the land. But Father, we know You have promised that You will never leave us nor forsake us. And so, Father, we want to just put our hand in Your hand, Lord God, and hold on because You are our dad. You are our Abba, our Father. We reach up to You, Lord God, and we ask You to cover us and protect us under the covert of Your wings, Lord God, as You said in the imagery that You used in your Bible, Lord God, in the Word. Father, I pray for the minds of everybody that's listening today, Father, that they would have a receptive spirit today, Lord God, that they might be able to absorb the things that the Spirit said to the churches. And Father, we know we wouldn't even have an audience with You if it were not for the blood that Your Son, Jesus, shed for us. And so, Father, we thank You for Jesus. Thank You for the resurrection, because the resurrection is the proof that You provided, that even death is swallowed up in victory, that there is nothing that the devil has in his arsenal that can overtake or overpower us, Lord God. So, Father, we pray You give us strength. We pray You give us understanding. Father, many things are sometimes confusing, Lord God, when we look at Your Word. But we know today, Father, that we didn't understand yesterday as well as we do today. And You have promised that tomorrow we will understand even more. You said we would understand it better by and by. And so, Father, give us more knowledge, more understanding, more grace, more faith, oh God, so that we might be able to reach out and touch those things and consume in our mind the great ideas that You have given in Your Word. Father, bless every home and family that's represented here. Father, some are mourning today for different things. There are people who are sick today. We pray that You touch them right now, wherever they are, Lord. Let them receive the measure of healing and mercy, Lord God, no matter what it is. And we'll be careful to give You all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Father, we ask for special anointing today that we might receive from Your Word the things that you are saying, Lord, things that we sometimes don't pick up, sometimes we don't grasp. But Father, today we ask you, help us today, Lord, so that we can come away from this study with some new things, oh God, and a new determination to walk by faith and not by sight. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart that they would be acceptable in your sight. For you are truly our Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for you being here. And we're going to go right ahead and dig in. We started up this subject, and some of you were there and some of you weren't. So I want to kind of backtrack just a little bit and say that we were talking about the sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise. And I wanted that to be something that we continue here just a little, because you never have enough time to talk about thoroughly any subject. All the subjects that God gives are really deep and things you really have to think about, pray about in order for it to be kicking in your life, so that it gives you some authority and some power over some situations that you may be dealing with. So I think this is one of the big reasons, and I wanted to take a little time today to kind of clarify some of this, because we were talking about the psalmist in Psalms 116 on the last lesson, and he was pouring out his soul before God, and he had to speak to his own soul and say to my soul, soul, go back to your rest, get back where you should be. And that's really a truthful thing when we think about that psalm, where he says, go back to your rest, because it's easy to get your soul stirred up with a situation in life. You know what? The enemy energizes that every time it happens. Every time you have a confusion or a misunderstanding, or there's something you don't quite get, or you wonder why is the thing the way it is, because there's a lot of unjust, unfair things in this world. That's one of the big problems we're having in America right now, is that people are discontent about so many things. So how do you and I, who are the called ones, if you're here today, even if you're just tuning in for the first time, I believe God has called you. And he wants you to hear his word and his counsel on the things that are going on in your life right now. And you know what, that's one reason why I'm able to keep a measure of peace. Doesn't mean I don't get upset or things don't trouble me or bother me, they do. But the fact is, I don't get so upset because I always trust that God is there. And if you practice the presence of knowing that God is there, then it'll help you with a lot of things. I need a lot of help. I don't know about you. Maybe you could be better than me in this area, and perhaps you are. But the fact is, we all, I think, need some help. We are not, no, none of us have arrived and have become perfect. I can tell you something, though, and I want to say this today because I don't mind sharing it with you. There was a lot of stuff in my life years and years ago that was less perfect than it is now. And I'm not saying it's all fixed now. There's a lot of stuff right now that will get better. And I just know it will, because I look back and see the stuff that God has done already. And I know that he has the authority and the power to keep me moving on. So sometimes we say, if that's true, then why can't God just snap me right into a situation where it's all fixed? And I want you to understand that today. This is a very, very important thing. So I want to take a minute today and talk to you again about why we should be thankful to God in every circumstance, and also praise God in every circumstance. And that's what the scripture says. We give you the verse once again, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Apostle Paul writing to the Thessalonians at the church at Thessalonica said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. And so you may say, well, this is a horrible thing I'm dealing with. Thank God. Anyway, you know why? Because you don't have to necessarily, he wouldn't have to let you deal with it. But he decided he would. And so there's a reason why he is allowing us to go through the stuff we go through. Like I said, back at an earlier time in my life, I can tell you I have a whole list of things that God got me straightened out on that I'm now doing. A lot of them are put away forever, and they'll never be back again. There's some other stuff that's still there that's in my mind that I have to deal with. But God is giving me the assurance and the faith that because he gave his son, Jesus the Christ, that he is willing to go that far to show you how much he loves you. Think about that. Christ is the most important individual in human history. No matter what anybody else tells you, understand this, this whole world, and I say this all the time. Some of y'all say, he says that every week. Well, maybe I do, but I want you to know that Christ is the focal point of human history, and that's for a reason. God made it that way so you and I would focus in on him, trust him. He has made him the only mediator between God and men. There's one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. And why is that important? We got to really get this today, and I think it's going to bless you and help you understand some things. And we mentioned it in the last lesson. So some of this is review. If you were with me last time, hang on. We got some new things too, but I want you to understand this today. God, as I mentioned in the last lesson, got into the human experience, and he had always planned to do that. It was not some afterthought. He planned it before the foundation of the world. When Jesus the Son was face to face with God the Father, and there was perfect unity in the Godhead, perfect harmony. And that's why the Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That term, the Word, is a phrase talking about the Son, Jesus the Son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Then it says, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, speaking of Jesus, and without him there was not made anything that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth into the darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. And so this is what you have to understand from that, that Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He was always with the Father in eternity. Verse 14 in John chapter 1 says, and the Word became flesh. OKJV says the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. So the word of God's promise, which is also the same word by which everything was created, because God spoke, it says in the book of Genesis, and things came into being over a period of 6 days when God spoke all things into existence. And that's why it says in the beginning was the Word, because it was by the word of his power, as it says in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, that he made and all things by the word of his power. See, and so it was the spoken word of God that brought into creation everything that exists. See, and Jesus, the Bible says, is known as the Word of God. You'll find that title returns over in the book of Revelation. It says that he has a name written, that he is the Word of God. And so we need to understand that's just a phrase that carries through the whole New Testament. It's also present in the Old Covenant, because it says in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image, in the plural, and after our likeness. And so we can see the position of God the Son. Keep in mind that from eternity past all the way up until about 2020 years ago, that was when Jesus was that Jesus was still in the spirit form, but he was never in the flesh until Christmas, the first Christmas. And so we have to understand that. And the reason I'm taking time to say that, I'm putting a few things in a nutshell, because I want you to know that it was very important to God to take on human flesh in order to experience the entire human experience from the beginning on through. And keep this in mind. Adam was created. It says there that let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And it says that the Lord God formed from the dust of the ground a man and breathed into his nostrils when he formed Adam and made him a living soul. He breathed into his nostrils after he'd taken dust and formed it into a man. And says the man became a living soul. And so the fact is that body was made from the dust of the ground. And of course, he breathed into his nostrils, it says there, the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And so there was a unity of flesh that God brought up out of the ground, and he breathed the spirit of life into Adam. And that caused him to become a living soul. That's very important. We'll talk about that in a little more detail. And I hope I'm not moving you too quick here. Just make some notes and we'll talk about it. Or you can always write me or call me or send me an instant message or talk with me on Facebook. I'm very present and available if you have questions about anything that we present in our broadcast, in our teaching. And we want to engage with you in those things. So please feel free to be in touch if there's anything that seems a little fuzzy or what have you. But I want you to understand how important it is that God decided to take on flesh. Keep in mind, when he made Adam, he started a succession of human beings that came through the male and female that he created. It says that in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And see, he made it so that they could be self-reproducing. And this is the reason why every one of us has a belly button. We were born in the flesh. We came forth from our parents through a natural union of a man and a woman. And that's how everyone gets here. Now, a lot of people find a problem with that. But I'm not trying to talk about that in this lesson. I just want you to understand the humanity of Jesus and the reason why that's important. Because God was just spirit. And the Bible says in John chapter 4 that God is spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And Jesus actually teaches that himself. But the beautiful thing about the incarnation, there's so many, I won't be able to tell you all of them. Let's talk about a few aspects of the beauty of the incarnation of Jesus the Son. Now, incarnation is a fancy word that means in the flesh. It has that word carnal in the middle of it. So to be in the flesh, it means that God the Holy Spirit, well, God the Son, let's say, not the Holy Spirit, God the Son took on flesh. How did he do that? It was the Holy Spirit, and we mentioned this in the last lesson, came over Mary, the mother of Jesus, who was a virgin, and she was with child of the Holy Ghost. So Jesus was conceived in the womb of a virgin according to the prophecy of God. So many prophecies, Genesis 3:15, we don't have time to talk about them all, but make a note. Isaiah 7:14, behold, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Matthew 1:23 says that Emmanuel means God with us. And so it was God, the Holy Spirit, overshadowed the virgin, took on him the form of a servant, as we talked about in our last lesson in Philippians 2. And he took on human flesh. And I want you to ponder that just a little. Right now, the humanity of Christ is an extremely important subject. It's the very focal point of humanity and of salvation. Without the humanity of Christ, there can be no forgiveness, no salvation. We're going to see that in the book of Hebrews. It says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness or no remission, which means payment. There's no remission of sin. See? So it was necessary that the Son of God, who was face to face with the Father in eternity, when the fullness of time was come, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, like we have briefly described, and born under the law, in order to deliver you and me from the curse of the law. And the reason that is that the law would be a curse to me and you, because we have never been able to perfectly keep it. There is not a man, woman on earth, not a boy nor a girl who has ever been able to fully keep God's law from the womb to the tomb. And so therefore there's no one who can be saved by the law. The Bible says, by the works of the law there shall no flesh be justified, because by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the law really is a schoolmaster, as Paul says in Galatians, to teach us about the level of sin that we have in our lives. If it wasn't for the law, we wouldn't know how sinful we are. And all we need is for God's law to say things like, you shall not lie. Uh-oh. And we're shot. That doesn't mean we lie all the time, but we can't say we haven't lied at any time. And it'll say things like on and on. You know what the law says if we just want to pull up the Ten Commandments. And, of course, the Jews expanded that into over 500 commandments. Some say 523. And the more laws you add, the more difficult it is for anyone to ever be saved by the law, because no one has ever kept the law perfectly. And this is the truth. And so we need to understand that by the works of the law, in other words, keeping and practicing God's law, no flesh shall be justified. What does justified mean? Not just as though you had not sinned, not guilty, simply put. And the only way we could arrive at a not guilty status is that it has to be granted to us by grace. By the grace of God and by his mercy, he grants you salvation. By faith in Jesus Christ, his Son, who was the eternal Son of God, who became flesh, was conceived in the womb of the Virgin by the Holy Spirit, and born into the world to live a human life perfectly and flawlessly with no sin. And so that's the beauty of the first advent of Christ. And let me add this, and y'all heard me say it before, I want to say it again tonight. He is the Savior. There is no other. There's none like him. There never ever will be anyone like him. He is the only one who lived in the world, born in the flesh of a woman like you and I, who never sinned. And so the fact is, God was doing that to give you and me a Savior, one Savior for the whole world. And what I love about the universal nature of the gospel is that it kind of really pulls all the pins out from under of all this foolishness that you and I are dealing with every day. We live in a world where, we got black churches, we got white churches, we have Korean churches. Some of it is linguistic. The reason that we have Korean churches and other churches that speak other languages is simply because we don't all speak the same language. But when we have them because of ethnic purposes, that's a problem. That's really a problem, in all honesty. Looking at 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 10, Paul said, I would that you all speak the same things and that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you. So you take that verse and that will dismantle all the denominations and all these different kinds of things that culturally separate people. And the gospel is a universal message from God who gave his son, Jesus the Messiah, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But we got Dems and we got Republicans, we got Libertarians and all kinds of different political things that divide us. We have social things that divide us. We have all kinds of things that divide us. And God's work that he did through his son Jesus was to bring us together under one Messiah, one Savior. And he is the only Savior for all men, women, boys, and girls everywhere. So we invite you tonight, if you have never understood that, to realize that God has given his only begotten son. And it's probably a verse you may know, for God so loved the world, he loves you, that he gave his only begotten son so that whosoever believes in him, that means anybody, any color, any nation, kindred, tribe, or tongue of people, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Faith comes by hearing the message about Christ. That's why we preach this good news, the gospel, that God has given Jesus, his son, and he is the focal point of human history. I don't care who you're talking to. Don't let the smooth taste fool you. And it ain't really smooth. It's really the devil if he tells you there's something else you can do to be right with God. And this whole planet, this whole universe is centered around the Lord Jesus Christ, no one else. And every second that ticks on the clock is a second ticking from the time he was born. And that will continue until the Antichrist hates it and tries to alter it. And that's another whole story for another day. But Christ is the focal point of human history. You should trust him and believe him. When you do, God says you shall be saved. It's very simple. And so the gospel is simple. It's for everyone. And God gave his son in order to make us clean and free from sin. Therefore, what is our proper response to that? That's what we want to talk about here just a little tonight. And we've been talking about it through this week. The proper response to what God has done, when you think about how magnanimous, how beautiful, how comprehensive, how perfect what that God did by sending his son, Jesus, to come, as it says in Romans 8, in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. That's how he came. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. In other words, if we look at him, we say, oh boy, he looks like everyday Joe. He looks like a regular, average, everyday person. See? And there was nothing Isaiah even talked about. He said he has no form nor comeliness, no beauty that we should desire him, as he describes him in Isaiah chapter 53. So he came in a very mundane, everyday appearance, but yet he was God veiled in human flesh. And so he came in order to satisfy his Father for you and for me. And so this is a universal truth that we need to understand, not only for you and me. Whoever hears this message and believes him shall be saved. That's great news. It's the best news on earth. So it doesn't make any difference what color you are. Doesn't make any difference what ethnic background you are, how old you are, how young you are, whether you're male or female. No matter what your circumstances are, God has given his son for you. And so that's our proud privilege. So therefore, and we get back around to my therefore, we should be thankful. The Bible says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Now let me help you with that a little. A lot of people have trouble with that. They go, well, everything is not a thing that we should be thankful for. And we talked about this last week's lesson. You can roll it back, catch it on our podcast, or look at it on teachingbible.org if you like. But I'd like to just say here, yes, that's true. Not everything is something that we could easily be thankful about. But God says be thankful. So it's going to be something you and I have to pray about. It's going to be something we have to think about every day. think about every, as we go through, we need to identify the stuff we don't want to be thankful about. There's a lot of stuff in life we think, man, I can't be thankful about that. You know, it could be some horrible things happening to people, and they are today. But learn to be thankful to God, and it's something you have to nurture and cultivate in your life, and it will bless you and it will help you if you learn to be thankful. And also praise God. You know why? I'm just going to give you a simple reason here myself. You didn't have to be here. God could have let whatever it was take me out. I didn't have to be here, but he lets me be here to go through whatever it is, even if it's not pleasant. And I have to say this, the majority of things I've been through have been pleasant in general. There's a few bad patches of stuff that I could say, that's not good. And wouldn't want to be thankful about that. There's the horrible, tragic things that people go through. And you may say, oh, I don't want to be thankful about that. But God spared you through it, whatever it is. And so you have to cultivate being thankful. It'll have a benefit to you spiritually that you may not be aware of, but you will if you pray on it. So a lot of stuff we have to do by prayer. We can only accomplish it by prayer. And I want to let you know that it's not going to be easy. But some of the stuff, and you don't hear churches kind of avoid difficult subjects these days. They avoid difficult subjects. Well, we don't want to talk about that. Because, but the fact is, there's reasons why they avoid it. But the fact is, we need to talk about it. We need to put it on the table. We have people struggling with all kinds of things in life. And God is able to fix all those things. But if we don't talk about it, we won't ever be able to let the people know that God is with you in your struggle. Whatever it is you're struggling with, he is with you. He promised, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So if you're going through it, he knows about it. He's omniscient. That means he knows everything, you know, and he still loves you. So if you're here, you should find a reason in your spirit to say, God, I know you love me because I'm still here. And I want to thank you for whatever I'm going through. I want to praise you for whatever I'm going through because there's going to be a benefit to me in the long run when I get to the point where I trust God and allow him to take me through everything that I'm dealing with. And that'll be true for you too. God is no respecter of persons. He loves you just as much as he does anyone else you know who might be spiritual or even myself or whoever you want to say. So you are loved by God. And God is giving us time. That's the gift we have. I always like to put it this way. A lot of people are worried today about what happened yesterday. Oh, something happened yesterday. Now I'm a mess. Okay, you know what you just did? You let the past destroy your present. And some people are going, oh, tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And they weep and they moan about how it might be tomorrow. And you know what you just did? You just ruined today. And tomorrow hasn't even come yet. So what I have to do and what I like to do is teach you to live in the present time, not based on the past, not based on the future. That's why the scripture says one day at a time. See, because that's all we really have. And that's today. That's why the word says today, if you will hear his voice, God's talking to you right now through his word. If you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And because it will help you if you don't harden your heart, hear his word, live right now, today, and I always say this. Some of y'all heard me say it before, and it's repetition for you. If it is, I think you'll still think it's good news. The reason that you don't want to live in the past or in the future and that you should live in today is because today is the present. P-R-E-S-E-N-T, present. And you know what that is? The same way you spell present. There's a gift that you receive. So today is a gift. It's the present that you receive from God. You're here today. God loves you, and he wants you to rest in him. And that's where we get to the place of being able to give God thanks. Whatever I went through yesterday, it may have been awful, but I'm still here today. Thank you, Lord. Immediately. Whatever is threatening me tomorrow that I may have to go through, it didn't take me out. Thank you, Lord. See, and I'm going to face it because why? God promised to be with me as I go through it. I'm not going through it alone. I can go to bed tonight and rest because he neither sleeps nor slumbers. He's up all night anyway. So why do I need to be worried about it? And the fact is, you can press on because God loves you and he's giving you today, which is the present. So your present time is the time of rejoicing and giving him praise. Hallelujah. So you got to get in that mindset. Allow that to soak in today. You know what? The biggest challenges you have, God is willing to help you with every challenge that you have. Maybe you're going through some stuff because of employment, or something you're going through because of a lack of education, or some lack of some kind of thing, or there may be something threatening your situation right now, and it could be a myriad of things. But I want you to understand today, beloved, that God loves you. If you're here today, you should say thank you, Lord, and be thankful. Learn to live in thanksgiving and turn it over to God. You know what I think is going to happen? The scripture says this, and we mentioned this last week, and I'm going to give you this text in Hebrews 13 if you want to look it up. But last week I talked about Philippians 2, where it says this about Jesus. I was talking about the human element of God the Son becoming flesh in order to do a work for me and you that no one else has ever done or could ever do. He's the only one that lived in the flesh and was able to satisfy God every second from conception all the way to the cross, and even after that into the tomb. And when he got out of the grave, it was because he had successfully completed the mission that God the Father sent him on. And that resurrection is the thing you and I really ought to rejoice in. Because even death, you know, what's the worst thing can happen to me? Okay, tomorrow I could die, or this evening, or whatever. I didn't die yesterday, so I should say thank you, Lord. But death is swallowed up in victory because God sent his Son, allowed him to live that spotless life, that it would be recorded in his word so that we can read it, understand it, meditate on it, and believe it. Once we believe it, then we can also know that he also defeated the grave. Got up out the grave, declared all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Now that's exciting. Because no matter what happens, even if whatever it is takes me out, I'm good. And I really want my family to know that. I really do. You know, because I see so many people who are so broken up and destroyed over a person passing away. And I know it's a horrible thing. Been through it myself many times. I don't know how many eulogies I have done for people over the years, but there have been a lot. Done a lot. I eulogized my own parents. And so it was not easy, but God helped me to understand that death has been dealt with. I've already dealt with it. No matter what the problem is, I have dealt with it. So really, I need to give him thanks. And that's my conclusion. I'm going to thank you. Lost a wife. Thank you, Lord. Because I loved her. You loved her. You took her home. I can't be upset now. Because he made a move. He did what he wanted to do. And those are the decisions I'm glad he makes that I don't have to make. But the fact is, he loves you. And so he's giving you the solution even to death. So that, I would say that's probably the worst problem we could have. We don't have to worry about it. So for that reason, we want to give God thanks and give him praise. Philippians 2:5, as I mentioned, he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God," we talked about that last week, "thought it not robbery to be equal with God." See, he was in the form of God. And he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he didn't grasp onto it or cling onto it. But he took upon himself the form of a servant. He was born into the world to be a servant to God Almighty and for me and you. See, he took upon himself the form of a servant and was found in fashion as of a man. In other words, if we looked at Jesus, once he had been born and raised and brought up in the world, he looked like everybody else. So he took on humanity in order to tangle with the problems of sin, the law, and death. And he got up out of the grave in resurrection power to show us that even your worst problem been fixed. I came here, been here, done that. Death is fixed. You don't have to worry about it. There wouldn't even be a church if Jesus hadn't gotten out the grave. Y'all hear me say that all the time. But it's the truth. And he said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So the freedom we need for everything we're dealing with comes from a knowledge of his word, a knowledge of his love. His love was displayed in a way it could never be done by anything better or anything else. The Son of God came in order to satisfy God the Father so that whosoever believes in him, doesn't make any difference where you come from, as we mentioned. I keep wanting to say that because I know the poisons that are in this world because of racial tension and all of that. The solution is Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. If you really understand what God did for you, there's no way you can hate your brother. No way you can hate him at all because of his color or any of that. You'll see that as a very serious, ugly sin. And you'll know that that comes from the devil. And some of my best friends are people of other color. And that's the way it is. And I love them just like I do people of my color. I think that's where God put me in, somewhat in the middle here. I'm not too dark, I'm not too light, I'm somewhere in the middle. People ask me all the time, oh, what nationality are you? What difference does it make? Doesn't make any difference at all. The people who I know, meet people all the time, and God wants you to love them all, whoever they are. So if you that might be something you need to pray about. You know, a lot of times people treated us bad when we were growing up, or they treated our parents bad, and we heard about it. Well, get over it. That's my solution for you for that. Get over it. Thank God. Praise God. Get in His Word and tell Him thank you. You see, because He gave you another day to let your golden moments roll on a little while longer. And He said there, getting back to Philippians, let this mind. It's something you have to let. You have to allow it. Because otherwise, some of the obstacles that are built up in your mind from being battered on by the world and the flesh will stop you from the best that God has for you. And it's going to take some spiritual discipline for you to do what God said. You're going to have to meditate in His law day and night. Understand every human being is perfect and beautiful in the sight of God. Not perfect without flaw, but just that He accepts them. If you're in Christ, you've been declared perfect. See? And you are without sin in the sight of God. Even though I might look at you and go, hey, you got a ways to go. And you might look at me and say, well, you got a long way to go. And that's true. But the fact is, our perfection comes from outside of us. It's a foreign righteousness that God gives us on the basis of faith in His only Son, Jesus the Christ. That's the only way you can be declared right with God. The word in the Bible for that is propitiation. Jesus has come to satisfy God's wrath against my sin by His perfect life and His willingness to receive death and even taste death for a wretch like me. And that's what He's done for you if you believe Him. So the Bible says, to as many as received Him, to them He gives the exousia, the power, the authority to be called the children of God, even those that believe on His name. See, believing in Christ is what you and I need to do. And then we would see the whole world through another set of lenses. We'd be able to see it through the lenses of God. And God knows what you're dealing with. I want to say this, too, before we take up this text. There can be things in your life that bog you down. We've all had them, and we probably all still have some. There's some things we don't even really know about that plague us just about every day. There are addictions. There are things, hatreds and unforgiveness and all kinds of stuff. There's a lot of stuff in families. There are people who say, oh, you know, I'll never forgive so-and-so for such and such, whatever they did. There are grudges that people hold and things of that sort. And all they do is disrupt your peace. And so I want to admonish you today, whatever those things are, take them to the Lord in prayer. You know, find another person in the church that you can confess with. And we're going to share our hearts and open up our hearts and tell one another what's going on. And don't keep it to yourself. The devil wants you to think you're the only one suffering with this situation. You're the only one. You know, and it's only me and you. I'm going to be in here tormenting you, making you feel bad about this thing that you're holding on to. But you know what? Nothing could be further from the truth. You've got brothers and sisters in the church who have been through similar things, if not the same thing you've been through. And the Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. For the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God says you want to accomplish some things, start to pray about them together. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. See, and do that because God wants you and I to be in fellowship. That's why it's important for us to get together like this, to be in fellowship with one another. Fellowship, the word koinonia, means that we are getting together into a oneness between ourselves. We are the children of God. You can only be in one of two places. Either you're lost and you don't know Jesus and you do not accept Him as your Savior, and that means you're lost, or you're saved. You are in Christ. You accept God's way of salvation, which there's only one. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So you can't get to God any other way, no matter how long you say it, how loud you say it. You can talk about God all day. If you don't have Christ, you have nothing, according to Jesus. There's no half Christians. You're either saved or you're not. And God wants you to be saved. That's why we want to make the gospel, which is the good news, emphatic and clear. God wants you to believe Christ and be saved. He gave Him as the only mediator between God and men. He's the perfect high priest. And the Bible says He is a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, and that's another thing we'll have to unpack that another day. But we have a perfect mediator who is 100% God and 100% man. And he came into the world, the only perfect man who lived a faultless, spotless, sinless life and allowed himself to be spit on, mocked, ridiculed, and crucified on a cross. And he knew it would happen. He had already written it in his word before it happened. And so that's why he's the center of time, the focal point of human history, and he always will be until, as I mentioned earlier, the Antichrist will try to change that at some point. But right now, Christ is the center. That's one of his biggest calling cards. And so you and I need to learn the importance of the human element. God decided to become human, which he had already put that in his word years before. He had fashioned it in his mind from the foundation of the world. So let's look at this so that we can learn how to give the sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise a little better. We'll be done here shortly. Hebrews 13:5, bear with me on this. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money. That's one of the biggest corrupting things on earth is the love of money. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, said that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not the money, the love of money is the root. In other words, that's what produces all kinds of evil, is the love of money. So he says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money. The writer here of the Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 5, being content with what you have. See, that's hard for some people. We got to have everything everybody else has, and I'm not happy because you got it and I don't. Be content with what you have. For he himself has said, now listen to this, quote, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. God says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I will never desert you. That means I'm not going to run out on you. Somebody else may have, but it won't be me. I'll be there with you no matter what you're going through. So if you have a need, I'm right here. I'm a very present help in the time of need, Psalms 46 tells us. See, God says, I'm with you. I'm ever present. I'm with you everywhere you go. If you go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm with you. I'll be there. My rod and my staff will comfort you. See, I'm there in the middle of whatever drama you're dealing with. So he says, I said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6, Hebrews 13:6, so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? What can man do to you? You know what? The worst thing man can do to me, maybe they can kill me. But you can't really kill me either because Jesus is going to raise me out the grave no matter what happens. So I'm good. That's the thing. That's where you got to get. So I'm not going to worry. I'm going to be in Christ. I'm going to trust in him with all my heart. I know he is the only one defeated death in the grave, and he loves me, and God says, I'll be with you always. That means until I breathe my last breath or until the trumpet sounds and he catches us up to be with him and meet him in the air. And so you shall not be afraid. So many things about that. We could talk about that for an hour, but let's move on. Hebrews 13:7, remember those who led you and who spoke the word of God to you. See, think about the teaching that you received, whether that was your parents, your neighbors, your relatives, your uncle, your aunt, your friends, your brother, your sister, your pastor, or any teacher that taught you the word of God. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Now, you know what? I could stop there and write a book. Because I know some people, so I call them cast iron saints. They love God. They went through trouble. They went through difficulty. They went through danger, seen and unseen. Many of them went through slavery times and all kinds of oppression. And they kept on trusting God through it all. They were great examples, great witnesses. And they're still here to talk about it. Say, hallelujah. And so there's people there. God put those kind of people in your life. The writer to the Hebrews that said earlier in chapter 11 and 12 over there, he was talking about the heroes of faith. Then in 12, he talks about the great cloud of witnesses. See, and I don't think that's just superstar witnesses like some of the ones in the Bible. This would be like my aunt, my uncle. I got aunts and uncles and my mother and my father, people who taught me about the word of truth in my life, preachers that I can remember in my lifetime. I won't stop to tell you about that. I can think of so many preachers who blessed me with something they told me and taught me from God's word. And so remember those, he says. Think about the good things back. If you're going to look back at the good stuff in your life. Don't look at the misery and the stuff that put you in pain or hurt you or broke your heart or whatever it is. Remember those who led you and who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith, no matter who that is. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Think about that. He's the unchangeable Son of God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if it was a mess from your past, he can deal with it. He was there yesterday. He knows what happened. He's with you today. And he promises you the future, and you will persevere if you walk with him by faith. And let's move on just a little bit here. Then he goes on here, verse 9, very critical, Hebrews 13:9. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace and not by foods through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. People tell you, oh, if you eat this and you eat that, Lord is not going to accept you. All those kind of miserable things. God said, be thankful and give thanks and enjoy yourself primarily. Because it hadn't benefited anybody who called himself being eating this or that. That stuff, you hear a lot of that today. It's getting worse. But remember that God says, don't be carried away by varied and strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. In other words, God's unmerited forgiveness. Not by foods through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. We have an altar, goes on to say in verse 10, Hebrews 13:10, from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals, speaking of Old Testament sacrifice, whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin, are burned outside the camp. That's what they used to do with the remains that were left after the sacrificial offerings were made in the temple. The priest would take them and burn them outside the camp. Verse 12, the parallel. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So they took Jesus out to a hill called Golgotha, a hill called Calvary, and they hung him between two thieves to humiliate him and disgrace him. You haven't been through anything that compares to what Jesus went through for you. There's nothing you've been through, nothing you're going through right now compares with what he did for you. And so think about what he did as you look at what's going on in your life, and you can say, thank you, Lord, because he suffered, hung between two thieves, was disgraced, humiliated, spit on, mocked, ridiculed, stripped naked in the public, all kinds of just horrible things. This is the most horrible thing I ever heard of when you hear about the epic of the cross, how Jesus went through all that, and he did all that to save wretches like me and you. Awesome. So you know what, today I'm going to say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, I give you praise. Because he didn't have to do it. But he know, you know what, it tells us that in his humanity, he knows how terrible people can be. People can be terrible. They really can. But the saved need to rise above it, just like Jesus went and took all that evil. After they did all that, they didn't even kill him. They couldn't kill him. I've heard some people say some awful stuff recently. Don't even have time to open it up. Here, I heard some people talking about some stuff, but it's not really true. Be careful about what you listen to. As I said up here, remember those who led you and spoke the word of God to you. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings. There's some strange teaching out there. Know your Bible well enough to know when you're hearing some strange teaching and something sounds weird and it ain't right. The Holy Spirit will let you know that ain't right. Something's wrong with that. You see what I'm saying? Pardon my bad English. But the fact is, the Spirit of God wants to educate me and you so that we cannot be tricked by any foolishness. The answer is study the word. Study to show thyself approved unto God as workman and need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. There's a right way to divide the word of truth. And God wants you and I to know that. And he will teach you. All you have to do is ask. Ask God. That's what James 1:5 says. Brethren, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally to all and holds back nothing, or upbraideth not, the old King James says. In other words, I don't hold anything against you. If you ask me for wisdom, I'm going to give it to you. Whatever you ask me for, you got it. See, God says ask for wisdom. You want to understand the word? So many people say, oh, I don't understand the Bible. Well, ask God to give you wisdom. He'll do it. He will. He will always keep his word. And you can say, thank you, Lord, and give him praise. Because he's able to do that, and he wants to do that, but he wants you to have fellowship with him. So he talks about how Jesus came, and he went out, it says here, outside the camp. He was crucified, Hebrews 13:12. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. In other words, if he went through that, the stuff I'm going through, not even worth discussion. It's not worthy to be compared. That's a Romans 8:18. I reckon Paul says in Romans 8:18 that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. God says, I got some glory I want to reveal in your life. And what you're going through right now doesn't even compare. So whatever you're dealing with, beloved, my time is gone. But I want you to know God loves you. He has given his son for you. He can break any kind of a curse situation off your life. He can take you out of an addiction that you've been struggling with. He can do anything that you need in your life. He is able and he's willing. He wants to save you. So if you trust him today, just receive the gift of salvation. God bless these people today. Everybody under the sound of my voice, Lord God, whatever they're going through, whatever they're struggling with, bless them today, Father, that they might be saved, first of all. Help them to believe the good news that you love them so much you gave Jesus, and Jesus bore their sins in his body on the tree, that he was laid in a borrowed tomb for 3 days and nights and got up and declared, all power is given to me in heaven and earth in order to give you the highest worship that you have ever received on our behalf. He raised him out the grave after 3 days and nights, and he was seen among many witnesses. And Father, just help them to believe that today, and that by faith in him alone, wretches that are undone can be saved. And Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory. Help somebody break an addiction today, Lord God. Help some people break whatever it is that's in their life that's stopping their relationship from drawing closer to you. Give them that strength, that knowledge, that understanding, that power, that financial blessing, whatever it is they need today, Lord God. And help them to know that you will be with them always, just as you have promised, even to the end of the world. And we ask all this in Jesus' mighty name. Bless some marriages today, some homes, some people with jobs, people with vehicles, people with financing, whatever they need, just bless them right now, Lord God. And we thank you in advance, Father. We praise you in advance. We thank you for all that you're doing through St. Timothy and Straight Gate Ministries, Lord God. Bless homes, families, and lives, and expand this ministry, Lord, that we might be able to preach this gospel to thousands, oh God. And we give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and thank God for his grace. I got this shirt from a friend of mine up in Colorado. I told him I'm going to sport it here today. He gave it to me a long time ago. And just thank God for him. All right. We got some good things coming up. I want to share that with you, but my time's up. So you have a blessed day. Thank you for tuning in. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.